Blog Talk Radio. Better Love, and welcome to the Truth to Power Show. I'm Beverly, and we're here with Eddie Rodriguez, and we're looking at Black artists and musicians in Latin music. How are you doing, Eddie Rodriguez?
I'm doing quite fine. Better love to you, Beverly. Bringing some entertainment and educating at the same time, talking tonight about a Black artist, a Black Puerto Rican artist, musician, composer, band leader by the name of Rafael Cortijo. Rafael Cortijo was one of the forefront of bringing traditional Puerto Rican music and fusing it with modern type of dancing music. What we just heard was Cocoyanis. That was a composition from his album Time Machine. You can go to YouTube and punch in the name Cortijo, C, like in Charlie, O-R-I-J-O, Cortijo. You will find an Enter Time Machine. You will hear some of the music you're going to hear tonight. So it's a pleasure to be with you tonight, Beverly, and it's a pleasure to bring to light some of the Black artists and musicians, some legendary Black artists and musicians in Latin music like Rafael Cortijo.
Well, it's my pleasure. I appreciate you joining us and introducing us to this music for those of us that wasn't familiar with it. And before we get into the music, can you kind of let the listeners know who is Eddie Rodriguez and what you do?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Well, one of the things that I do is I'm always looking for talent. I do this program as a community service to celebrate Black History Month, and I try to choose the artists and musicians that would be forgotten, pretty much. These are gentlemen that paved the way for an industry that we have today called the salsa music industry, which is a multi-million-dollar industry. And a lot of these artists in the beginning, you know, when they were just trying to get their records played and their music recorded, you know, didn't have lawyers. So a lot of them ended up dying penniless. So I want to, you know, what I do is I want to bring that to light during these Block Talk radio shows. And as a profession, I've been involved in the Latin music industry for the last 40 years, and I've worked with managing artists like the great Tito Puente, and produced concerts in Madison Square Garden with Latin urban music, as well as salsa shows at the Greek Theater. And right now, what I do is I look for talent that I can take to the next level. I'm being of service. At the same time, you know, it's just the business of music. But I'm looking for artists that have an art, you know, art as a forefront of their mission, you know, to interpret and to express a God-given talent that they have to be able to communicate with people from the stage to the audience or to the digital media or to the radio. And so I am a music industry executive that's still on the go.
Well, that's excellent. And so the listeners out there, if you have talent or you know someone that has talent, well, here's an opportunity. We have Eddie Rodriguez, who's been in the business for a long time. He's not a newcomer, so he knows the business and he knows talent when he sees talent. So how can they contact you, Eddie Rodriguez?
You can go to LinkedIn and just type in Eddie, E-D-D-I-E, Rodriguez, R-O-D-R-I-G-U-E-Z, and the word, the words, Latin, L-A-T-I-N, works, W-R-K-S, music, M-U-S-I-C, and you can send me a message, and I'll get back to you, and I'll be happy to listen to anything you have, or if you can send me a video, that'd be great. But our goal is, on this program, is to entertain, to educate, and to bring to light some talent that would probably be forgotten. I bring my experience of growing up in the South Bronx and doing concerts in, Los Angeles and New York and Miami, around the country, and South America as well, and in Europe, to highlight or spotlight during these broadcasts and Blog Talk Radio show talent that normally not be recognized. So that's grateful to you, Beverly, for offering your time on your program, Truth to Power. Yes, I'm here every Thursday night with you at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and until 11 p.m. And once again, the show is live, unscripted.
Yeah.
And I'm doing this show on my iPhone. So I'm using the speaker on my iPhone to reach, to be able to talk about some of these great, these amazing artists that were influential in what we call today the Latin music industry.
Okay. And the number here is 323-642-1586. 323-642-1586. If you have a question or you'd like to talk to Eddie Rodriguez, if you want to know anything about the music industry, here's your opportunity. And you push the number one when you call that number. So we're going to get back to the music here. Here we go.
We'll be right back. policía y arrestaron al matón. Y uno de los policías, que también era bembón, le tocó la mala suerte de hacer la investigación. Le tocó la mala suerte de hacer la investigación. Y sobre la pregunta que le hizo al matón, ¿por qué lo mató? Lo diga usted la razón. Y sabe la respuesta que le dio el matón, yo lo maté por ser tan bembón. El buey escondió la bemba y le dijo,
I'm telling you, that was on vocals the most revered singer of Latin music from Puerto Rico, a black Puerto Rican by the name of Ismael Rivera. They still consider him as El Sonero Mayor. That means the major improviser in Latin music, almost like he makes up verses as he goes along, making them rhyme and making them go with the flow and staying to the melody as well as to the meaning of the song. And so Ismael Rivera is another, rest in peace, another great black Puerto Rican that is known for taking our music from Puerto Rico, La Bomba y Plena, to the next level. A lot of Puerto Ricans in the 50s and the 60s were migrating to New York City. And on the Spanish radio stations, you wouldn't hear this type of music. You would only hear it in the neighborhoods and at parties and things like that. The airwaves were controlled by Cuban Americans, well, newly arrived Cubans. That music was pretty much dedicated, or the radio station's format was dedicated to romantic music. Mostly trio music, three-part harmony with three guitars, that was the music that was kind of you would call it middle of the road for advertisers to be able to buy spots on the radio station, and now they would not change. It took years for them to begin playing dance music, the music we call today that we call salsa. And back then, you would hear this music, and you know, blasting off the speakers in a grocery store from a record player in somebody's home, and or out someone's speaker on a fire escape, you know, blaring this music. But it was definitely Ismael Rivera and Cortijo who were able to commercialize the music we call salsa today. That includes what happened in the 70s, you know, which was more of a Cuban influence to create what we call salsa. All of it combined, that's why they call it salsa, because there's so many ingredients to make it tasty and to make it hot and make it danceable, most importantly. So, you know, when we look at Cortijo and, you know, being treated not as a star during his day, but definitely a star in the eyes of the people that appreciate art and what he did on their first composition, Gumbo, you know, where he included the electric piano and guitars, and, you know, it was kind of that feeling of, you know, wanting to do something different. And although the album wasn't popular and didn't sell a lot, a few people gravitated to it, like myself, and was able to appreciate the art, the compositions, the way that he was able to fuse traditional Puerto Rican music, bomba y plena, into his compositions. He always went back to it, and it was a steady beat. And that music is, you know, once again, bomba y plena was pretty much a music that was concentrated mostly in black regions of Puerto Rico on the coast, Loíza, Loíza Aldea, Santurce. And bomba comes with a dance, and it's a dance that's very lively. A lot of, you know, when you see some dancers, Puerto Rican dancers wearing long white skirts and a white turban, women wearing white turbans in their heads, and dancing to the music of the drum, you know, so to speak, back and forth. It's really a spectacle. So, I would suggest that people, whenever they see a Puerto Rican show coming up, you know, give it a visit, and you'll be entertained.
Was that, I remember in the movie seeing the ladies with the dresses on, and they would raise it up in the front while they dancing. It seemed like they were dancing to this kind of music. Hello?
Yes, I remember that too. You know, a lot of that music was, you know, big band music, Xavier Cugat, but, you know, you think of Carmen Miranda with that, you know, flute, you know, headset. You know, it's very lively. It's very entertaining. And it's feel-good music. That's all I can say. It's really feel-good music, especially if you see it live. You know, bomba y plena is the indigenous music of Puerto Rico, as well as the folk music that we call trova, or, you know, which is mostly like folk music, guitars. And don't forget, there was no radio, there was no newspaper, so the way people got their news was by way of troubadours, you know, people singing and telling stories of what happened, you know, somewhere else in another part of Puerto Rico. And a lot of them were poets. So, you know, you could be with one troubadour, it could be with two, it could be three. But it was mostly with, you know, instruments that people could hold, you know, and carry with them, like guitars or guiro, you know, which is a gourd, or a cowbell, you know, bongo, small. And, you know, percussion is very important. Percussion is the heartbeat, you know.
Right.
And this music was able to inspire once again, or at least bring a little taste of home to those Puerto Ricans in New York City, like my parents. This was their music. This was their popular music at the time. And
okay.
So when these groups would perform in New York, people would go and they would go to the shows because it was bringing a little bit of home to them in New York City. So once again, tonight we're spotlighting Rafael Cortijo, percussionist, composer, band leader. His album Time Machine, which you heard a few compositions. One was called Gumbo, and the other one was called Cocoyanis. And one of the famous tunes that he did prior to doing Time Machine, which I believe was his last album, was what we heard in Negro Bembón, which is a story. You know, it's a story about a person that was telling someone that they have big lips, and then they got into a ruckus, and then the policeman that came to investigate also had big lips, so it was kind of funny,
right?
And so a little story there, but you know, once again, bringing the tradition of Bombi Plena to a commercial level, and Cortijo and Ismael Rivera were able to do that brilliantly. And unfortunately, you know, a person like Ismael Rivera, you know, these people died penniless, you know. I don't know about Cortijo, but I can imagine they were peers, you know, Cortijo and Ismael Rivera. So they were probably went through the same situations of people signing or acquiring the rights to their publishing, the songs that they made up on the spot, you know, but they didn't know about publishing. So someone acquired publishing rights and till this day gets a royalty for some of those songs. So it's the sad state that happened. You know, there's a lot of things happening with the mafia, with at that time, you know, a lot of people were introduced for the first time to drugs, you know, coming from a place in Puerto Rico, there were no drugs, and they became drug addicts, and they went to jail, and came out, but they were still, you know, their talent was there, their art was still to the point where people, you know, wanted to hear more, wanted more of that sound, that style, that feeling that these artists brought to the world. So without any further ado,
well,
I think we have some more.
Well, we do have our hand raised. So let me open the line up here. Is this might be Eric. Is this Eric?
Yes, it is, Beverly and Brother Eddie. How y'all doing?
Great. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm over here saucing. I'm saucing up right now. I wanted to ask a comment on that. You talk about ingredients and make it tasty and flavorful. And, back a couple of weeks ago, we had Mongo Santa Maria, and he started the session with Sofrito. So Eddie, if you could tell us about some of the you know, Puerto Rican cuisine and what it means to the music, you know, what is sofrito, picadillo, you know, plantains, you know, the way y'all eat, and how does that blend with the music and the flavor of the music, y'all food? Hello, y'all still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm still here. Yeah, picadillo. You mentioned picadillo. That was Vito Puente composition. The food picadillo is like ground beef, you know, seasoned with garlic and seasoned with onions and seasoned with sofrito, as a matter of fact, which is the foundation of the Puerto Rican cuisine, which is the base. They cook beans with that. Not rice. Rice is rice, but you know, anything that has any meat and any stews and things like that, the sofrito is something that's included in that, which is green peppers and onions and garlic and red peppers, you know, all these nice vegetables that are healthy. And they become before the dishes is being, while it's being prepared, before it's even water goes into it or any meat or anything, sofrito is placed on in the pan, and you know, just heat it up, and when it gets just right, and then you add in all the other ingredients. So and like I mentioned, picadillo is something that is ground beef, and with tasty ground beef, not like chili or anything like that. It's not soggy or anything like that. It's just a dish that you eat with rice and pinto beans and some plantains, which very, very much loved in Puerto Rico. Cream and light plantains and avocado with some olive oil. And so, you know, this is, it is part of our culture to have tasty meals. Just from my own experience, my mother is going to turn 100 years old in July. So,
wow, congratulations.
She was feeding me that food, you know, all my life, you know, until I got married, and then my wife cooks Puerto Rican food. So she's from Guatemala. And okay. So it's a very, you know, even in Guatemala, they have some tasty food, you know what I mean? And they all love to dance. That's one thing for sure. Every single, I don't care where it is in Latin America, you know, even the indigenous communities, the tribes, and you know, in the Amazon, they have rituals where they're dancing and they're playing flutes and kuru, and you know, it's an incredible feeling. You know, that makes you happy, and you know, that's what music is all about. The art. Everyone cannot, you know, pick up a trombone and start playing it, or a conga drum, because they can beat on it, but they play music, and do they have the stamina to be able to play throughout the whole composition and not get off beat, so to speak? So when you talk about the musicians, you know, each of them add their own flavor as well, because they have different influences. Some might be influenced by Mongo Santa Maria, others may be influenced by Contigo, you know, and Otito Puente, you know, go down the line, you know, Luis Ramirez. And so, we have a very, very tasty culture here in Puerto Rico. So thank you for asking, Eric.
Yeah, because y'all have a whole music based on, a food that's combined with different, flavors and spicy. It's called salsa. And it goes with a dance, and it has a Pacific sound. And so, every place has that. Every island has a Pacific flavor and taste and vibe to the music. I love island, you know, and this place, North America, is an island too. So over here, you know, people call this stuff gravy. In India, they call it chutney, you know, and, some places in the world, they call it salsa. Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting how we have these vibes to get us going, to get our belly full and get us going with moving our hips and, you know, moving our feet and, you know what I mean, clapping our hands and making us feel good. It's the food is involved, you know, the women in the kitchen cooking, or some cultures, the men are in the kitchen cooking. They don't allow the women in the kitchen. And, you know, and then everybody just vibing off the food. If you smell that sofrito hit the pan, oh man, you know, it's something to go down. You know, it's something to be good jumping on, you know, and then you might be playing the old music like we hear listening to tonight. And I want to comment on that upbeat. It kind of reminds me of some of the African music that I hear, you know, from West Africa, when they have that real upbeat tempo, you know, and it sounds just like that. And also, when Dizzy Gillespie met Chano Pozo, he took his guys, you know, back to have a meeting, and he said, "Fellas," he said, "man, I don't know what's going on, man. We're gonna have to get us some exercise shoes and start walking around the block, man, because this cat right here, man, he's smoking us with his speed." You know, so they had to get used to the up-tempo because the jazz was laid back. And, man, when they met the Latin artists, you know, they had to pick up the tempo. So, man, you know, it's a beautiful combination. You know, and we love the stories, Eddie. That's what it's all about. We archiving ourselves in a glorious way, man. These stories are potent. So, yeah, thank you for coming on. Thank you, Beverly.
Yes. Thank you. Thank us. Okay. Let's go back to the music. Let's see here.
Mira, Cindy, el carnaval. Vamos para el carnaval, vete.
Adiós, mira, Feli.
Mira, yo mira, ¿dónde
vienes? Yo mira para allá.
La di 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 la di
that is a workout. I know when they went dancing back in them days, they really got they workout on.
Well, you know, that was the music of the Puerto Rican diaspora of New York City, the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, Lower East Side, Manhattan, Harlem, Spanish Harlem. You know, that was the music that was listened to at parties. And, you know, there were no clubs per se to... They were playing this music, so you would hear this music at during the holidays. I grew up with this music. My grandparents, that's the music that they had, and my parents and my uncles and aunts. We used to get together every Sunday when we first got to New York City from Puerto Rico in the 50s. And yes, this is a good time music. His home, once again, you know, we're talking about a traditional beat rhythm from Puerto Rico called bomba y plena, and a lot of the songs or stories, you know, about what was happening at the time, or you know, whatever stories people created and were inspired by to make songs out of them, and like I said, a lot of these songs were very, very popular at the time. Unfortunately, you know, there were no radio charts the two magazines that charted music that told you what was the top 100 hits of the country. You know, did not include Latin music. There were two magazines. One was called Cashbox, and the other one is Billboard magazine. Cashbox went out of business. I remember meeting with them in the 80s, and they were just kind of going out of business. But Billboard has been around for over 100 years, and so, believe it or not, they just started charting Latin music in the 80s. You know, before that, there's popular music, there's English language music. And back then, I was working for Billboard magazine at the time, and the music used to come, the list used to come over the phone until fax machines were all over the place, so they used to come via fax machines, but there was no measurement tool. In other words, you didn't know if the song was number one in a bunch of, you know, different cities to be able to calculate, you know, what was number one, number two, number three. You know, it was done, you know, with trust. But as you know, there was a lot of payola going on at the time.
Right.
And some people went to jail for it, you know, because they were playing music and they were getting paid under the table. Well, you know, the thing about that was, you know, the government didn't like that they weren't paying taxes on that, you know.
Right.
And, it was, you know, the record label's owners, you know, they didn't know that money was being exchanged, you know, for play, so to speak, you know. And some DJs in New York got in trouble. I remember Symphony Sid got in trouble for that. He was one of the ones that was a jazz DJ, and he segued into Latin jazz, and then from Latin jazz straight into salsa. So he was very important in bringing this music, because nobody else was doing it, and obviously there were record labels that wanted to play it, and there's only enough time to play them. So, yes, there were people that got in trouble at the same time. You know, now, today, that's impossible to say that a record is playing, 12 times a day, you know, 7 days a week, you know, without it being scrutinized, because there's a measurement tool called a new technology. It's called MediaBase. And MediaBase has a panel of radio stations around the country that report to them. So they have a technology that goes directly to the radio station that can identify what song was played at what hour, to what the demographics that were listening at that moment, obviously at the time of day. And record labels can monitor that to see how their product is doing, a single that they may be promoting. So, you know, it's hard to get away with were doing what they used to do in the past, you know, saying a record was number one when it wasn't. It's all technology-based now, and media-based is what the Billboard charts are based on, the findings of daily, you know, of measurements by media-based. So, but yes, this music was not played on the radio. It was played in a lot of Puerto Rican associations during that time in New York City. And so these associations used to have a annual dance, so to speak. I remember my father, he was a treasurer for an association from our hometown, Arroyo. And I remember he had to handle ticket sales, you know, he had to write everything in a book, you know, in a ledger, so that at the end of the the night, you know, they would have the money that they were trying to raise, so and to pay for the band, to pay rent for the location wherever they had their social club, so to speak. And they sold, you know, that night they sold, you know, obviously alcohol. It was a private event, you know, for the members of the association. And yes, it was. That's the only places you would hear this music. So I'm happy to bring this music to your audience and let them give them a little bit of taste of what Puerto Ricans were dancing to in the beginnings of what we call today the salsa music industry. Don't forget, you know, we had an Afro-Cuban influence at that time with big bands. You know, Machito and Tito Puente, they were all performing, you know, at that time. They started in the 40s and 50s as well, but that was a big band, you know. Cortijo was not a big band. You know, if you hear trumpet, you hear trombone, you hear saxophone. With his new material, the Time Machine, you hear guitars, electric guitars, electric piano. The vocals, the high-pitched vocalist, a woman by the name of Fe Cortijo, that was his daughter. That's his, you know, Fe Cortijo used to sing on his recording. So, you know, it's, and, you know, that part of Puerto Rico where this music comes from, Luis Aldea, there's a family called the Ayala family. They are well known all over the world for bringing the culture of Puerto Rico and that dance to museums, to events all over the world. So, you know, there's families that go back generations of keeping the music alive and keeping the dance alive. So we have a lot to be grateful for to them for keeping this music alive. And obviously grateful to you, Beverly, for allowing us to share this music with your audience.
Well, thank you and Eric for bringing this to the forefront. So help us get familiar with this music. Now, outside of Latin America, where was the music more popular? You know, like Britain, America. Where would you say that it was got more airplay or people were more familiar with it?
I would say New York City, you know, because I remember, Miami wasn't it. I used to go to Miami, and you know, in the 80s, and they still were not here there yet. You know, they were once again. You know, the music that we're hearing tonight, from the Time Machine by Cortijo, a lot of that influence came from Cuba as well, because at that time, you know, last week we heard Chucho Valdez and Iraquere. You know, that was a brand new sound. The traditional Cuban sound was not what we heard from Chucho and Iraquere. They won a Grammy for that in 1979 for their recording, you know, titled Iraquere. And so this was a Puerto Rican version of trying to do something different. It didn't catch on, though. It didn't catch on, but that was already brewing in Cuba, so to speak. So there was other groups in Puerto Rico like Batacumbele that were able to pick up that sound and were very popular at that time. But you know, they had so many great musicians that those musicians went on to start their own groups. So, but it was there was another group out of New York City called Grupo Folclórico Experimental. with some incredible music by the late great Andy Gonzalez, bassist, and his brother Jerry Gonzalez, a trumpeter, percussionist, and they also experimented with this music that was coming out of Cuba. Unfortunately, that was not commercial enough. That was not commercial enough to be played in the clubs and the bands to perform and have a huge audience. We're looking at instrumentals. A lot of this is a lot of the arrangements were focused on the musicians and their talent. So that's what we're hearing tonight with Rafael Cortijo. And on vocals, we have the late great Ismael Rivera, and Sonero Mayor. And there's still to this day, you could say Mark Anthony is a well-known artist worldwide today. Another one, that's still on tour is Gilberto Santa Rosa. They are not black Puerto Ricans. Marcus grew up in New York City, and his first language was, Spanish, but, he spoke English. When he started, he sang in Spanish, but he didn't speak Spanish. Now, today, he speaks Spanish, he sings in Spanish, and he's touring, and he's going to visit 50 countries on his next tour. So, and Gilberto Santa Rosa is one of the top vocalists in Puerto Rico. And he hasn't reached the heights of Mark Anthony. Mark Anthony, I think, also segued into American music with a few hits. One was called I Need to Know, and the other one, She Came to Me. That was a lot of money invested in that by Sony Music and Tommy Mottola when the contract for Mark Anthony was acquired by Sony from the late great Ralph Mercado and RMM Records. Once again, money is a part of getting through because there's so much competition. So it takes money, and to have strong publicity, you have to have strong marketing dollars and tour support to pay for the airlines and different hotels. And sometimes you're talking about 12 people traveling, So today, a lot of club owners don't want to pay for a live band. They'd rather hire a DJ,
Right.
And they'll offer a DJ that's on the radio, popular on the radio. They'll pay him, $5,000, just to pick a number, $5,000 to be at the club for 2 hours. And go to another club and make another $5,000. And I'll do two or three clubs during the weekend. So, and they want to offer today, I'm talking about today, a 12-piece salsa band, $1,500, it's an economic situation for them. They don't have the same passion for a live band and that they do for a DJ. And their business is to sell alcohol and to sell admission tickets and food, whatever else they sell at the venue. But once again, this is a business. It's just a salsa music industry, and there are clubs all over the world that do pay for the artists, and they pay them well, and they pay their expenses, and they pay, everything that's necessary, the production, the technical needs to have a great performance by the artist. And it's once again to be able to bring some great music to the public and to the consumers of this genre of music. And we have 500 million Spanish speaking people on the planet. Or more, and a large percentage of them gravitate to either pop music and Spanish or salsa music, you know, to Mexican, you know, music or music that it has, you know, we have so many different genres within the Latin music industry that, you know, once again, you know, Eric said, said it, you know, the first time, you know, it's very, it's a combination of a lot of things in Latin music, but everything is kind of divided and it's tasty. The most tasty to me is salsa music and Latin jazz. So it takes musicianship, and singers have to be great singers, and they have to be great poets in order for you to feel them. And that's what we get from Mark Anthony today. That's what we get from Gilberto Santa Rosa. And that's what we used to get from Ismael Rivera, who we just heard on this last composition.
Okay. Well, let's go back and hear some more.
como cuando tú eras pobre.
Me daban risa, sabía yo de memoria ese final. Deprisa llegó, se fue deprisa. ¿A quién es que quieren engañar? Decían probando es que se guisa. Y ninguno de los dos estaba en nada.
Vete pa' allá, vete pa' allá, vete.
if you didn't know how to dance, you definitely was going to learn how to dance for that music, the upbeat.
That's a...
Uh-oh, we lost him.
He fell off there?
Yeah, he fell off. He had to call back in.
All right, then. All right. Oh, man, boy, that was some fire. Boy, I let you hear that drumming at the end. It was going in on the drums, huh? Yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. You know, man, it's very spiritual, you know, and it's funny that it's showcasing the album Time Machine, because I've been talking to a lot of people about this time warp, man. I don't know, babe. I don't know how you feeling, but, man, it's been a major shift. It's a shift going on, no, inside of our physical self, but, you know, in these realms out here, you know, a lot of people living on a lot of people having different experiences here, you know, simultaneously at the same time. Yeah, it's a trip.
Absolutely.
That's right, babe. And, you know, 40 years ago, and then another 40 years prior to that, last 40 years was the is when they hit this, they did this Philadelphia experiment, you know, where they did these time warp experiments. And then we had another 40 years, Bev. And it's funny that Philadelphia was in showcase over there and near the Grand Canyon, you know. So it is a major, major, major beam, a grid and connection going on right now. And it's funny that we broadcasting live from the Bermuda Triangle, Bev. You want to talk about a lit grid? You want to talk about a grid that's lit, the Bermuda Triangle. And so, you know, I just take it all in consideration that we are on a magic carpet ride, and many different people having different experiences, you know. And so those of us who can't get out in nature and, you know, are entrapped in these cities, it's a whole different frequency and vibration and experience that we're having, you know. And even when I lived in the city, I would find my spots. You know, there's a lot of food, a lot of fruit trees, a lot of, you know, over there in Los Angeles, if you just go on the outskirts in the mountains and go to the ocean, it's a whole different vibe in Los Angeles. You know, you don't have to be trapped in the streets. Los Angeles is full of jungle and mountains and ocean water. So it's a lot of options out here. You don't have to be trapped in a city.
Eddie, you back with us?
Yes, I am. You know, what an incredible arrangement to that last composition. You know, it went through so much. You know, to tell you a little bit about Rafael Cortijo. Rafael Cortijo was born in 1928 in Santurce, Puerto Rico. Santurce is a part of the San Juan area, you know, he died in 1982, I believe, of pancreatic cancer. Just, you know, looking at all the record labels that he recorded for, you could tell that, you know, at the time, these record labels weren't really that organized to be able to pay royalties and things like that. The story is when he died at home in a public housing complex near San Juan called Lloren Torres. Lloren Torres is notorious, you know, for being, you know, a dangerous place, you know. And it's not dangerous if you live there, but if people that don't live there... you know, don't go there. But, you know, it's pretty much controlled, you know. All these places they have, you know, the people from the neighborhood that look out for them, I guess, and, you know, the police don't even, you know, patrol these areas. They let them, you know, just things happen, you know. And in Miami Vera, you know, he also died in the 80s. It's funny because Cortijo died at the age of 54. And Ismael Rivera died at the age of 56. Once again, he also died, you know, in the arms of his mother in Santurce. You know, the stories you hear about his Maestro Rivera, all that. A great singer, you know, incredible talent, you know. What people don't understand is these singers used to get a melody and they used to get verses of the song. And everything else in between was an inspiration. They made that up on the go, you know, and they recorded that and that became the song, you know. But, you know, they never got publishing rights, you know, as a songwriter for their contribution of the music that we're hearing tonight. And one of the stories about in My Heavy Red, I mean, he rest in peace, was that, you know, he couldn't perform after his beloved Cortijo died, his compadre, you know, father, the godfather of the children. When Cortijo passed, Ismael Rivera didn't want to sing anymore. One of the stories that you'll hear is that when they did a tribute at Roberto Clemente Auditorium in Puerto Rico to Rafael Cortijo, he didn't participate. You know, he was just devastated when when Cortijo passed away. So there's another interesting story about Ismael Rivera and Panama. You know, in Latin American countries, there is a following of a figure, Christ, but it's not the Christ that you see in Catholic churches mostly. You'll see them in Catholic churches, as a matter of fact, but in some Latin American countries, and they call him the Black Christ. And Ismael Rivera was a devotee of the Black Christ, and he used to make a pilgrimage every year to Panama. And he wrote a song about the Black Christ. I don't have it on the set list tonight, but, you know, he did that all, you know, for years. And so he was very well received and regarded in Panama, where you do have Black people and white people all together. But once again, you know, when it comes down to the business of music, you know, some of our great artists and musicians and Black artists and musicians in Latin music were not compensated fairly. And as a result, penniless. And their families, all the contributions that they made, you know, to the culture of Puerto Rico and the music industry in general, were not recognized as they should be. So I'm happy that we're doing this tonight to honor two great Black Puerto Ricans. There's a history of Black Puerto Ricans and how they got here. The first Black the Spaniards got here with Blacks that were free slaves. They were free slaves. In particular, one came from West Africa, and he fought with Ponce de Leon against the Indians, you know, Taino Indians and the Caribbean Indians of the Caribbean. And so, you know, from history, that was our first Black person that stepped foot in Puerto Rico. Today, you know, we have, you know, in the coastal towns, there's still Black communities. If you were in anywhere and you saw, you know, you were everybody who's Black and you hear somebody speaking Spanish, you say, wait, hold it a minute. You know, I didn't know, you know, there were Spanish speaking Black people. You know, right now I think the population of Afro-Puerto Ricans, I think is, you know, has to be over a million people of Afro-Puerto Rican heritage. So, you know, we're doing something tonight to honor some Black Puerto Ricans. And why do we say Black Puerto Ricans? Because they identify themselves as Black because of their African roots. They honor their African roots. They're proud of their African roots versus a lot of people that I've met in the U.S. that are Black, and you say, you know, hey, look, where do you come from? You know, they'll say, hey, I come from Mississippi. I say, no, but, you know, where do your ancestors come from? I don't know that they came from Georgia. you know, and they won't say, they will not mention the word Africa. Versus,
and you can hear it in the music too. You can hear that African beat in their music, like his music.
Right, versus,
mm-hmm.
right, versus Puerto Ricans and Cubans and a lot of Peruvians and Colombians, they honor their ancestry, African ancestry, and the music speaks for itself because you know, the beat of the drum and just the spirit of the music is lively and danceable. So I hope you're enjoying the music. How are you enjoying the music, Beverly?
Well, you know, I'm hooked now. I got used to it now. I'm getting familiar with it now. So I like it. I like it because it's upbeat, and I really love, you know, I'm a jazz person, so I really love the jazz beat when we had the jazz artists on. But I'm loving all of it.
Good. You know, one of the compositions we heard tonight was called Guayama. And Guayama, I'm in a town that's called Arroyo, and the next town over is Guayama. And next week we're going to feature a songwriter that a lot of people, you know, don't know. And this is the man behind the pen that wrote a lot of hit songs for a lot of big artists in salsa music. His name is Tite Cure Alonso. May he rest in peace. He was from Guayama, born in Guayama, and Cortijo wrote a song that was a song about Guayama. We just heard it previously. So, you know, there's a lot of great people that your audience is just hearing about for the first time. And
yeah,
it's an honor for me to bring them to you and for your listeners. And I'm very grateful that that we have this time together, Beverly.
Well, thank you. And thank you and thank Eric again. And so I look forward to coming on next week. And again, before we leave, tell the people where they can contact you, especially if they got some talented people out there. You know, this is their opportunity to make it.
Well, the best way is to reach me via LinkedIn. Much of interest, I type in my name, Eddie, Eddie, Rodriguez, Rodriguez. Latin Works Music, and you can send me a message, and I'll get back to you. And so it's a pleasure to be with you again, Beverly. Thank you so much for having me, and Eric, thank you for calling in and adding to this program. And we hope people get in touch with us and tell us what they think and send us comments, and so we can continue to bring these public service programs to entertain and to educate, and on Block Talk Radio on the show, Truth to Power with Beverly D. And I thank you, Beverly D, and better love.
Better love. Thank you, Eddie Rodriguez, and thank you, Eric, and thank you, listeners, for listening.
Oh, Oye, Ismaelito Junior, viste, por más que se lo dije a Perico. Y se llamaba Perico.
Que descanse en paz.
¡Qué bueno!
Mira, Cindy, el carnaval. Vamos para el carnaval, vete.
Adiós, mira, Peri.
Adiós, mira, para allá.
Lario, 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 L
Ay, pelea, no, yo la veía, Willy. Willy, no va para allá, no va para allá, Willy. Ay, pelea, no, yo no va para allá.